reading is from Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 67. John's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has set up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare a way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, starting at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least amongst the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Curtis Thompson, and it's lovely to be with you this morning to speak to you from God's word found in his Bible. Today I will speak about the long-awaited hope that is Jesus Christ. I hope to present this in two arguments. One, we should really celebrate the birth of Jesus this Christmas. And two, we can have hope for the future this Christmas. I hope to use my voice and my body language to bring this argument. I hope to use the research into the Old and New Testament scriptures from the Bible to bring a compelling and convincing case. But despite my words, let us pray in the name of Jesus that God will speak directly to us, that our hearts will be open to hear from him, that my words will be anointed and made relevant for you and your lives. We ask this, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. As Sarah said, our theme this season is hope, and we are talking about the long-awaited hope. Now, I can't preach about the birth of Jesus without doing a roll call of who played who in the nativity plays back in school. So by the raising of your hands, do we have any of the background characters? Do we have any livestock in the house? Do we have any, do we have any sheep or animals? Do we have any stars and moons? Please raise your hand if you were a star or a moon or a cow or a sheep. Okay, we've got a couple here. How about any of the characters? Do we have any kings or wise men in the house? No, one at the back. Okay, any Mary and Josephs? Oh, a few, lucky you. Do we have baby Jesus in the house? No one was that lucky. Our first reading was taken from the Gospel of Luke. Luke, who was a follower of Jesus, had one primary aim when he was writing his book, and that was to present the case that Jesus is the fulfillment of past promises of hope. Promises of hope made to Jewish forefathers like Abraham, Moses, and King David. He makes an assumption in his writing that you are familiar with the promises that were made to these three men. Like a box set that we find on Netflix, he assumes that you haven't skipped all the previous seasons and all the previous episodes. He assumes that you've read this, watched it from the beginning. He assumes you've watched seasons 1 and 2, Genesis and Exodus. He assumes you've watched seasons 19, 23 and 24, the book of Psalms, the book of Isaiah and the book of Jeremiah. He assumes you've devoured season 39, the book of Malachi. Because inspired by God, Luke directly quotes or hints from these books in the Bible. He wants you to go back and recall the promises about the future that were made to men in the past. Luke chapter 1 introduces us to three characters: Zechariah, a priest, his wife Elizabeth, and her cousin Mary, who would be the mother of Jesus. Chapter 1 outlines two contrasting stories that are running side by side. We see this elderly married couple, and we see this young couple to be engaged. We see this couple with a priestly heritage, and we see this young girl with no heritage even worth mentioning. We see a young couple, we see an elderly couple unable to have children, and we see a young couple who haven't even started trying. One son will prepare the way, one son will rule for eternity. In Luke chapter 1 verse 7, the writer goes out of his way to make it clear that this elderly couple are unable to conceive a child because they are old. If you've watched the previous seasons, you will know from stories of Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rachel, that when couples righteous before God are unable to have children, it's a sure hint that God is about to show up. Luke 1 verse 13 sets the scene right on cue. An angel turns up and tells Zechariah, "Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John." Verse 17 says, "He will make ready a people prepared for the Lord." What's Zechariah's response? Zechariah says in verse 18, "How can I be sure of this?" He says, "I am an old man and my wife is well along in her years." Put simply, he says to the angel, "You're having a laugh, Gov." As a priest, he would have known about the miracle births of the past. As a priest, he would have known about the promise of a Messiah. But in this moment, even though he had been praying for a child, Zechariah is full of doubt. How could it be me? As a consequence, because of this doubt, he's unable to speak. He's told he won't be able to speak until this miracle birth takes place. I wonder if we can connect with the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth's situation. Maybe you've been praying for a situation for so long and there has been no results and your hope is dwindling away. Or maybe, just like this couple, you doubt that God would choose you to do something miraculous in this world, to birth a special child, to birth a ministry, to birth acts of kindness, acts of hope that will change your community. You doubt that God would ever use you. Well, in this story, we see God choose ordinary women. One is barren, one with no heritage, to bring about change in his kingdom. Imagine what God would do with your humble prayers and your ordinary life. This Christmas, let us celebrate, because God uses the ordinary to do the extraordinary. Thinking about hope, what was this hope that was made to these forefathers? Our first reading is known as Zechariah's song, and it allows us to enter the scene when the baby John has been born and Zechariah is finally able to speak. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, no longer doubting but full of faith, Zechariah sings, "Praise be to the Lord God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them." In verse 73, he says, "The oath he swore to our father Abraham to rescue them from the hand of our enemies and to enable them to serve him without fear. In holiness and righteousness before him all of our days." But what does this mean? The biblical hope was that God would send a Messiah, a king who would rescue them from their enemies. Just like God rescued the people of Israel from Egypt, a king, God one day would return and rescue them from their current enemies and enable them to serve God freely. But the truth is this, some were waiting for a military victory over their enemies. Some were waiting for a political victory over the enemies. In the Bible, we know the truth that in Jesus Christ, our long-awaited hope, God has given us a spiritual victory over our enemies. The enemy called the devil. The enemy called fear. The enemy called death. A spiritual victory, a salvation that means he protects us, he keeps us, and he leads us into his kingdom. The kingdom of God, where there is only one ruler, and that ruler is called King Jesus. Prophet, priest, and king, God all wrapped up in one. God like no other, king like no other. This is what Abraham and Moses hoped for. This is what they waited for. But us alive today don't have to wait. Mark 1 verse 15 says that Jesus says, "The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." This Christmas, we should celebrate because the long-awaited hope has been born onto us. What happens when people meet this hope? In our second reading from Matthew chapter 2, we're given the chance to contrast the different reactions to the news that this hope is about to come. The first in our readings, in the church Bibles, it's titled The Magi Visit the Messiah. A lot of nativity plays have three kings or three wise men cast. But in fact, the Bible is actually silent on the number of wise men that visited Jesus. It's most likely that they were magicians and astrologers, wise at studying the stars. They had traveled to the east, our reading says, and they followed the star to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one that has been born King of the Jews?" In Matthew 2 verse 3, we see one of those first reactions to this news. "When King Herod heard this," it says, "he was disturbed." Other translations say he was very upset. He was troubled, terrified, shaken, some translations say. Despite the teaching of the Messiah, we're told all of Jerusalem were with him. They were also disturbed. Why this reaction? Well, King Herod feared the challenge to his throne. The people of Jerusalem feared King Herod's reaction. The reaction that we see in verse 16, which is when he hatches a plan to kill baby Jesus, kill all the boys of Jerusalem. But let's contrast Herod's reaction with that of the Magi who arrive at the house. In verse 11, we see that it says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They came into the house. They saw the baby Jesus. They bowed down and worshipped him. They wanted to worship him. Herod wanted to kill him. Do you remember the first time that you met King Jesus? Do you remember the first time when you said that he will be my savior? I remember mine. It was about 13 years ago when I was 30 years old. I stopped going to church at 15 the moment I got my Saturday job. And the moment I got my Saturday job, church was over. I had the perfect excuse. But at that time, my connection with church got further and further and further and further away. From today, I'm fueled by the Holy Spirit. But back in my 20s, I was fueled by alcohol, parties, and Class A drugs. I was living in London, living a fast, fast life, trying to be a millionaire. It wasn't until January 2010 when I said I have my own business. A customer owed us some money, and we got told, you two are two nice guys. You got to let them know that you mean business if you want to get your money back. So me and my business partner, we went to their offices. And we, speaking a little less polite than I am right now, let them know, we want our money. And if you don't give it to us, we're going to sue you. As I got back to my office, they twisted my words. They said my threats were physical. They called the police. And I was shamed and arrested outside my workplace. I was taken to a police station in Farringdon in London. I was swabbed, searched, fingerprinted, and thrown into a cold, dark cell. I was lonely. I was scared. I was by myself. It was in that moment I pulled for what I call my emergency prayer. God, if you get me out of this one, I promise I'll come back to church. Now, I'd pulled out that emergency prayer a few times in my life, but this time, I meant it. To my surprise, he answered. He said, if your new direction is set for me, but I must change my friends. If you contrast my friends back then to what back now, we used to be just heading home right now from a party. Here I am in front of you, preaching the word of God. But it wasn't just that. That wasn't the only factor in it. 15 years, I'd left the church. But 15 years, I had a mum that was hoping for my return. 15 years, I had a mum that was praying for my return. God, reignite his faith in Jesus. God, reignite his faith in you. God, bring him back to the kingdom. Mum put her hope in Jesus. The Magi found hope in Jesus. I found hope in Jesus. This Christmas, let us celebrate, because the birth of Jesus proves that God answers hope. So we've spoken about what was the hope, and we've spoken about the reaction to this hope. But let me conclude with what we can do once we meet the hope, once we have this hope. The second half of verse 11 says that when they opened up their treasures, they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They bought gifts of real, real importance. Now, there are pages and pages of commentary that talk about the significance of each of the different gifts, but that's not where I want to go down today. The question I have is, if you have met Jesus, what gifts can you bring Jesus today? What gifts can you bring? Now, I have some ideas. What gifts can we bring Jesus? One gift we can bring is our heart. Jesus says in John 14, verse 23, anyone who loves me and obeys my teaching, my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make a home with them. This Christmas, I encourage you to give to receive. Give your hearts to Jesus and receive the gift of grace, forgiveness, and eternal life. Another gift that we can give is our time. Jesus says in John 14, verse 23, Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 6, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. This Christmas, let us spend time alone with Jesus. Let us give him our attention, not just on a Sunday morning, but every day of the week. Let Jesus be our focus. Let him cause us to bow down and worship him. The last gift that we can give is your voice. Your voice to tell someone about Jesus. John 20, verse 20 says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. Helen and Ian, God is sending you somewhere. And wherever you go, tell people about the good news of Jesus. Someone needs to tell your family about the good news of Jesus. Someone needs to tell Eyes Lodge about the good news of Jesus. Someone needs to tell Kettering what Zechariah said in his song, that Jesus Christ, the tender mercies of our God, the rising sun that has come down from heaven, is now ready to shine on those in darkness and guide us into the path of peace. Peace that can only be found in the kingdom of God. Are you ready to give these gifts to Jesus? Please raise your hand if you're ready to give these gifts to Jesus this Christmas. So brothers and sisters, as we go from here, searching for Christmas gifts and last-minute bargains, searching for things to consume on Christmas Day, let us spend time searching for Jesus, the free gift this Christmas. Let us find him and celebrate. Let us find him and worship. Let us find him and tell others. The long-awaited hope is here, and his name is Jesus. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. God bless you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.